Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. And we also know and we proclaim to the world that God has called us to love Him, love others, and go through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in those three commands, all of the Scripture is summed up. And may we hold fast to that very truth. So today, I just want to welcome all of you and say it is spring. Is it not spring? Spring has sprung. You know, it happened on the 21st, 22nd, somewhere around there. How many of you felt that little jolt when it happened? You know, no, we just slept right through it. But the reality is it is spring. And things begin to move and grow and you know, people begin to have ideas of going outside. You know, what a foreign concept after all that winter. And it's amazing because when we begin to see ourselves and that we live in cycles, how many of us realize we live in cycles, okay? And when we can see that we get ourselves into a cycle, somewhere through that cycle, it begins to be a rut. Have you ever noticed that? Yeah, it begins to be a rut. Do you know what a rut is? A rut is a open-ended grave, okay? Many people get stuck in the rut and they just keep going back and forth, but we need to remember both ends are open. It's not closed. But sometimes you got to get out of the vehicle and push or get a little bit of help to get out of that rut. Amen? And if we do, God is there to help us. And I'm going to tell you today, your religiosity can become a place of a rut. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So today, I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Again, we are going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Book of Matthew, chapter 6. We're going to begin in verse 1 because we're simply continuing on with the Sermon on the Mount. That we're going to be doing this. You know, we got a couple more sermons coming up to Easter Sunday, and we're going to continue in this delivery that the Lord has asked me to give, and I give myself to. So with that, let us pick up. I'm going to read verses 1 through 24. I got to pull my page up. Make sure that, 1 through 24. And then I'm going to go back and we're going to read it again. We're going to look at it. We're going to break it down. But I want us to catch these things that the Lord's talking here to us. He says from 6 and 1, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." If you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is in darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Blessed be the word of our Lord Jesus Christ on this day. And I say, amen. When we read these scriptures, it's understanding what is coming here. I think about this, and the very first verse that he gives us tells us something very real that all of us need to pay attention to. Because this is something that I often see in the church and in the world happening all the time. Because he says here, beware of practicing your righteousness before men. Beware of practicing your religiosity before everybody. What does that mean? We all know what that means. Do we like to admit what that means? No, because we're guilty of it. Most of us are guilty of practicing our religiosity in some form or another. Whether it be in church, whether it be out there in the world, whether it be when we are in groups with other people. You know, one of the things my mother used to say to me, and you all are going to get this real quick, don't do as I do, but do as I say. Right? Y'all been there. Your mama was the same mama I had. Okay, and how many of us have actually said something like that to our own kids? Okay, yeah, I love it. You know, I got one honest lady in the whole group. She raised her hand. Praise Jesus for her. She's going to get a reward. But the reality is we all do it. We all do these things because we are, as Pastor has said in the past, hypocrites. Okay, we need to understand we all fall short, don't we? When we can admit that, now God has something to work with. If you're not willing to admit that, he has nothing to work with because you see yourself as being perfect. I see myself as being perfect, if that's the case. And I'm going to tell you right now, I know I am a mess. I have no idea why I am up here. I know me. But I have also come to know my Savior. And that's why I'm up here, because he asked me to come up here. He asked me to yield my life to him. And when we do that, we don't have to practice religiosity. All we have to do is be real and allow Christ to come out of us. Because that's what he wants. He doesn't want what you can do. He wants you. Wholeheartedly. Just be you. Now, our society calls this something, and we're going to get into that because many people think, well, you know, this really doesn't apply to us because he's talking about when you give to the poor and we don't do it like they used to. I want you to understand, Jesus is doing something here that he just did in the last sermon that I taught you. Okay, when we went through this last section, Jesus was reestablishing the law, okay? Everybody thinks he raised the bar. He didn't raise the bar. He reset the bar because the bar had been lowered. And he said, no, you're not doing what is right. Here's what is right. This is what's always been right. Here he's doing the exact same thing, but in another category. What is that category? Well, the first thing he talks to us about is prayer or giving to the poor. I love this. Now, I want you all to think about this, okay? I was going to bring in a shofar. You all know what a shofar is, okay? It's a ram's horn, all right? And I was going to read this. So when you give to the poor, do not sound the trumpet before you. And I was going to blow the shofar and then put some money in the offering. Now, wouldn't that have been cool? No. But in their day, this is something that they actually did, okay? I want you to realize Jesus was not speaking hyperbole here. Jesus was literally commenting on what these people did. They would go out into the streets, and they would literally hold up their purse and shake it so you could hear all the coins, and then they would put it in the offering, okay? We have to understand what's being spoken about here. They had this outward religiosity that they wanted everybody to see. And it is amazing to me because three times we're going to read something in this scripture, and it says to us from verse 2 at the end of it, truly I say to you, they have their what? Reward in full. So they thought they were doing something and everybody's watching them and God's going to bless them. Nope. Their reward was right there. That's it. The show is over. Because as soon as the show was over, it was done. There was no more reward. Because all they did, they didn't look good in the eyes of God. They looked good in the eyes of people. I want to say this. How many of us look good in the eyes of people until we do something that are stupid? And then all of a sudden, all the good we did is gone. Ain't never happened to any of you? Am I the only one this stuff happens to? Because I'll guarantee you, wait till tomorrow and I'm going to do something stupid and you aren't going to remember any of the good I did. And if you're one of my elders, you know what I mean. Because I am a wretch. Okay? I want you to understand. It's not that I want to be, but it's that I am. I'm a sinful, broken man, and I'm going to do something, you know, not that it's intentional, but I'm going to do something stupid. I'm going to say a word or something that I shouldn't be saying. I'm going to, whatever it is, and it breaks that. You lose it immediately. But yet, so many times in life, we have these people who go out there and they do this stuff, and they get people looking at them and they say, oh, they're such a wonderful person. And then you hear they did something. Well, I don't know if they did that because, you know, they're really so wonderful. And so they put all this stuff down. But then it comes out that they really did do something, and then all of a sudden the entire world abandons them. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, we all know what I'm talking about. Because God says, don't do this that men may see you. Do these things in reverence unto him, in the secret of your heart, from the inner person out, not from the outside, that everybody gets to see it. Okay? And he's talking about what here? I think this is so amazing. He goes into something else. He says, as you are praying, well, the first thing is giving to the poor. The next thing is praying. When you pray, pray in secret. You know, I want you to think about this. How many of you have seen the videos of the people praying at the wall in Jerusalem? I may have ever seen that, okay? I think that is amazing, and I love it. You know, it's kind of cool because it's a different, you know, they have a different culture than we do. But when we were over there in Israel, and I'm sure you've seen it, you know, they've got the prayer shawls on, and some of them have the leather tied around their arms with a little box, and then another box tied around their head because you're supposed to have the word on your arm and on your head. Okay, and they're standing there, and that way everybody can see what they're doing, and they're standing there, and they're literally bouncing all over the place, because Jewish people don't just pray with words, they pray with their body. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, okay? They pray with their body, and you can watch them, and I mean, it's a show, And it's like, wow, these people are really into it. Are they into it, or they want people looking at them? What's the heart? Okay? Jesus says when you pray, and then he gives us the Lord's Prayer. How many of you have ever looked at that prayer? You know, we pray it every week here at the Heart of Christ Church. We pray that prayer every week. How many of you love the Lord's Prayer? The Lord's Prayer ought to scare you to death. But yet, if you live by it, it'll bring you life. Because the Lord's Prayer is one of the most powerful prayers you will ever pray. Why? What does verse 14 and 15 tell us? What does verse 14? Everybody prays the prayer and then they stop. We don't pay any attention to verse 14 or 15. But yet, as Christians, we know it's there. Because verse 14 and 15 says thus, "For if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." We need to understand, when you pray openly, when you are out there doing as these people did, they received everything because there's nothing in it. Because it was not truly a prayer unto the Lord. It was a prayer unto the peoples. It was a prayer unto others. It was a prayer unto making someone look religious. You know, it's one of the reasons pastor hates to pray in public. Do you have any idea how many times an ordained minister is asked to pray in public? You go to a family dinner. "Oh, Rich, would you pray for dinner for us? You people don't believe a word I'm going to say. But yes, I'll pray." And I have to laugh, because when I do a short prayer, "Lord, here's the food, here's the people, bless us all, and let's get on with it." They're disappointed because I didn't pontificate for 5 minutes. You all know me. How long can I pray? God, yeah. That was cute. God knows me, right? He knows how long I can pray. But one of the greatest prayers that I can ever give is simply, "Lord, look at my heart," and then shut up. And really let him look at my heart. Show me where I'm screwed up. Show me where I've messed up. And do you realize, that we are supposed to, what did the scripture say last week? If you remember that you have aught with a brother, let your offering at the altar and go and get it right. Then come back and give your offering. Otherwise, your offering means nothing before God. Do you ever really read the scripture and see what it says? Oh my gracious. When we get it right, God gets right with us, and we are blessed. Remember, he says twice here, he said, "And they have received their reward in full." What did they get? Accolades from people. How far is that going to get us? So God here, he's talking to us, he's saying to us, "Okay, folks, I want you to deal with tithing." Why? Because that was part of their worship. "I want you to deal with prayer." Why? Because that was part of their worship. What's the next thing he says? "Whenever you fast." How many of you people fast? You know, in the Church of Jesus Christ, it's like 2%. Okay? 2% of people fast. You know, we are called to fast. Ask your pastor how many times I fast. I am so glad you asked me. Because the reality is, this is supposed to be something in secret. But as a pastor, I'm also supposed to live my life before you. I'm to help you and show you. Not that I'm to gain anything from it, but I want to give you an example of what I mean. Sweetheart, how many meals do I eat a day? One. I fast 2 meals a day. I do not eat breakfast and I do not eat lunch. I pray during breakfast, and at lunchtime is when I do my devotion. I'm seeking the Lord. There is heavenly food that I need. And as your pastor, you better be praying that I'm eating it, amen? That I am seeking him out. Now, I'm telling you, did I just remove my reward? Possibly for some of it, yeah. But the reason I'm telling you is not to exalt myself, no, but to show you that there is something more. Because I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of people that believe, well, if I fast, God has to act. No, not if that's your heart. God's going to ignore that because you are putting him to the test. There's only one place God tells us that we can put him to the test, and what is that? In the tithe. In the tithe. Other than that, knock it off. Because if your heart ain't right, God's not going to make it right. But God says, test me in the tithe. Here, we're not supposed to test God. But when we walk with God, I fast for a reason. I fast for wisdom and knowledge for our church, that I can know what to do and say and be as a pastor. This is beyond me, people. I'm not capable of this. You know, I look at these pastors out there with churches of 300 and 400 and 500 and, you know, D. James Kennedy and you know, all these big guys out there, and I think to myself, how in the world? You know, they're going to be judged so much in the end. And some of them, I won't mention their names, when they come to their judgment, boy, they're going to find out they got everything on this side because there's nothing over there. But then there are going to be others who are going to have such wonderful rewards in heaven because they truly lived it right, they lived it well, and they preached the Word of God unashamedly. You know, John MacArthur is one that comes to my mind right now. There are so many of them. But how are we living? Are we living as people who fast and pray? God goes on with the fasting, and I love this description. You know, he says, they come with their gloomy faces, these hypocrites, and they neglect their appearance so that they'll be noticed by people. How many people have you ever seen in life? You know, they play it on. They pour it on. You know, we say they pour on the makeup, right? They put it on with a trowel so that, you know, we know that is fake, all right? And I'm not talking about you ladies out there. You look beautiful today. You always look beautiful, okay? Covering my bases, Lord. I'm talking about life and the reality of how we pile this stuff on. Here he's talking about fasting because it's part of worship. I want us to understand God here is reestablishing worship. How does this translate to our church today? You know, we do our offering, and it's done very simply, and nobody gets any accolades, do we? We're singing a song, everybody comes up, and you put in the basket. Nobody sees what you're giving, and nobody cares. Why? Because it's between you and God, and we all understand that. How do we pray? We pray together. We write down our prayer requests, and Pastor prays over all of them, prays them up. And while I'm praying, how many of you are praying? Right? It's done in secret. You don't put everything on that list, do you? Because there are some things, you know, Lord, I can't have Pastor speaking this out because there may be some questions and I don't want them to have to be answered. And we understand that. And sometimes we just put down a name. We don't say what's needed. They're just a name. And we just lift a name. It's worship. But what about our worship? You know, and fasting. Fasting is a part of worship. Jesus is reestablishing worship. He's showing that there's a spiritual aspect to it, not just in the doing of it and others seeing what you're doing. Because how many churches come and we get together and we have these bands up front and it's a entertainment session. And that's why people come to church, for that entertainment. Because, oh, we've got live music. Yeah, you've got people that stand up front. Is it really alive? You see, there's a difference between live music and worship that's alive. Worship that's alive comes from the heart, and it's about God. It's not about you and what you want or you need. I'm going to tell you a story. You know, Pastor likes contemporary music, and I also like our old hymns, right? I was at a convocation for the Evangelical Association. That's the group that we belong to, that we're part of, we associate with. It's not a denomination. They do not dictate to us. But we come together as like-minded people. And while I was there, they were playing a piece for our worship, and it was contemporary. Now, you all know Pastor has, you know, on the, in the bulletin, I asked every week, I'm not getting so many anymore, but I ask every week that the songs that you hear, that you love, that you like, please shoot them to me. And a lot of people get discouraged because I don't use the songs that they give me. Well, there's a reason for that. Because there are songs that, though they are good and they're nice to listen to, they mean something, they're deep, they're in your spirit, they're hard to sing to as a congregation. Okay? So I can't pick those songs. Well, I went to convocation and they sang every song that was so hard to sing that I couldn't sing them. But could I worship? Yeah. Because for me to try and sing those songs would have been wrong. But you know what? Those who could sing them, who did know them, who were truly worshiping, I could join their worship, couldn't I? And I could worship in spirit and in truth. And how do I do that? By raising my hands and praying. And I let them sing and I pray right along with them. I'm praying over them. This was one of the most amazing things, okay? Now, I'm a pastor. I got a big mouth, all right? And when this stuff's happening, I'm praying out loud. I'm praying for the EA. I'm praying for all the church representatives that are there. And these people are worshiping because I can't sing that song. I don't know where to start it, where to stop it. I don't know the words, but I can pray from my heart. I'm praying, and all of a sudden, song's done, we're done, and it was like three songs like that, all right? Boom, boom, boom. When we were done, we're getting ready to leave, these people in front of me and the people behind me both turned around at the same time and said, "Oh my, you have to be a pastor." They said, "That was the most wonderful worship I've ever experienced. You were praying and the Spirit was flowing. It was so great. I thank you for sitting here today." They were worshiping. I was worshiping. What happened? There was worship. I wasn't doing it for them. They weren't doing it for me. But guess what? God was in it. Why? Because their hearts were right. My heart was right. And we're worshiping God. It's all about what's in here and letting what's in here out. Not being out here and hoping everybody sees what you're doing. It's being here and saying, "Lord, this is between you and I. This is me to you. And I love you and I want you to know it." But we get to do it as a church. We get to do it as a church. When you're out there in internet world, sometimes you don't get to. I pray that you would come. I really do. I pray that you would come and be part of the ecclesia. Why? Because when we do these things together, the Spirit is intensified. How many of you can feel the Spirit of the Lord in this place? You know, I'm telling you right now. It has nothing to do with any of us individually, but corporately as the Spirit moves through us. And when we come and we begin to pour out, because I'm going to show you some things here that is so amazing, because when we practice our righteousness out to the world, we get nothing from it, okay? But when we practice from the inside out, when our prayer is between us and God, I don't want anybody else to hear it. I don't care if anybody else hears it. My giving is between me and God. I'm going to get rewarded from God for what I do. And it's going to be eternal reward. You know, I may not receive it today, you know, because this is one of the things we're going to deal with as we get closer to the end here, because we have to. You know, there's a lot of people that say, "Well, you know, I want the rewards, you know, pay into my ministry and God, you know, that's your seeds and God's going to increase it by tenfold. And if you give us $100, God's going to give you $100,000. Yeah, really. You know I don't believe that. Can God do that? Yes. And for some people, He has. In fact, I know some of you who have been blessed that God has brought an increase into your life. And that's wonderful. But then guess what? You know this because you're there. Now you're responsible for that greater blessing. And not spending it, but being a good steward of it. Can I get an amen from everybody on that? Because we're to be stewards of everything we're given, no matter where we are. Remember what the Lord says, to whom much is given, much is required. So God's not going to give to somebody like me who would hurt themselves with such a blessing. But God does give to me blessings, and you are those blessings, that I can help you grow, and that my, you know, the direction the Lord uses me to preach His word would be a blessing unto you and out unto the world. Because we need to understand, God here is reestablishing worship. He's showing us that when we worship in the world, of the world, out to the world, you have received your reward in full. But when we worship internally, when our religiosity is from the heart out, that we don't care if anybody else sees it, but we care if we touch the throne of God, then we can use whatever songs are coming, we can use whatever liturgy is happening, and we can understand that where I am in the midst of other Christians, I can worship even in my own spirit, that I don't need to be a part of what they're doing because I don't understand it. How many divisions have come in the church because of music? How many divisions have come in church because of the liturgy? How many divisions have come in the church because we need a new carpet and now we're going to argue over what the color's going to be? You know, I got people shaking their heads, yes. And that's how screwed up the church is. Yes, we're hypocrites. We're trying to work it out with fear and trembling, I pray thee. But we got to work it out, don't we? And that's what Jesus is telling us to do here. But He doesn't leave us in despair. Look at the last section here from 19 to the end. Look at what He tells us. This is the important aspect of what's going on here. He says to us, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, what's the key? There your heart will be also. If your heart is to get other people to look at you, to see what you are doing, and to be emulated in such a manner, you have no heavenly reward. But if your heart is to touch the heart of God, to love God because He has loved you, love God, love others, and go, then God is going to bless you that you can be a blessing to others because you have loved God. That's the first key. And it starts with your heart. And then when you go out to others, you have to remember, you're not supposed to do it. That's the tithing. That's the giving. Okay? You're not to do it to let others see, but you're to do it in a sense of humility that you want others to know. But you do it on a one-to-one basis, on a private basis. And you share with them the goodness that you have in Jesus Christ. And when you do, your Father is storing up treasures for you in heaven. You know, I think it's funny because there's a spot in Scripture, and it's kind of cool. It says that we shall not receive our reward until after the resurrection. Please look that up. It's in 1 Corinthians, okay? I'll tell you where it is, but I want you to look it up. It's in 1 Corinthians, so I give you the book. But please understand, God is literally wanting us to understand a lot of what we are going to receive from Him does not come until after the resurrection. But yet, in Christ, we can live with that treasure in our hearts because it blesses us even here and now. Because it gives us more strength, more hope, more power. It gives so much because it's eternal. It gives even now before we get to eternity. But God goes on. He's not going to let us there. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then your eye is, excuse me, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? You know, this is speaking about what I was talking about from the beginning. And I told you, Jesus here is speaking about the delusion that we are living in this world. The church at that time, the Jewish church, remember, the church of Jesus Christ didn't exist yet. It was getting ready to come into existence. But the church that existed then, Israel, was believing a delusion that these external things is what God wanted because they could feel good about themselves rather than knowing that they were doing what was right. We need to come back to that reality that we need to be right with God in our hearts in all that we do. Can I get an amen, church? Because when we are, God literally fills us with light. Didn't he just say that? Didn't we just read that? And that light that is in us is a bright light. And that's where all of that stuff, it comes out. It comes out. It comes out. If you turn on a light in your room, it illuminates the room. Can I get an amen? And that is what happens when we turn on, when God turns on the Holy Spirit in us. I was about to say when we turn on. We don't turn nothing on. We simply accept it, all right? And you know, he's the med ed of life, okay? He provides the juice, and that lights up our lives. And we need to understand that. And when we can do that, God lights us up from, and we have life within us, and it shines out. But he says here, when the light that is in you is darkness, how dark is that darkness? What does he talk about there? The religiosity that these people thought they were doing. They thought it was light. So how dark really was it? It was so dark, their delusion was complete. Because they had no idea that they were shining no light. They had no idea. They were completely lost in what they were doing. How much of our world is completely lost in what they're doing? I told you earlier, we have a new word for what they were doing. How many of you have ever heard of virtue signaling? How much of our world is doing virtue signaling right now? The LGBTQ stuff, the transgender stuff, you know, all these things that are going on in our world. Oh, you know, we're going to do this. You know, I loved it. The bank out there in California that collapsed, right? They had a gay pride week. They had a transgender week. They had all this stuff. They were virtue signaling. They were getting all that stuff right, but they weren't hedging their bets against debt. They were hedging their bets against the things of the world. How did that get them? Their bank just went under. Now we're going to give them, what, $250 billion? And tell them, do it again. I'd say let them fail. Because if we don't allow our children to fail, you know, we've all gotten the prizes, right? How many of us? Oh, my goodness. Everybody's a winner. No, you're not. That's virtue signaling. And that's where our world is. It's all about virtue signaling. Making myself look good. Making everybody else think that I'm following along. Making everybody else think that, oh, life's just happy and wonderful. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to say something here. Please pardon my language. But life can suck. It gets hard. And when I say that, I mean, how many of you have ever been in a point in your life where you feel like you're in a complete and total vacuum? Like you're only one there. And do you think God doesn't know that? And he says, get your heart right with me and I'll show you me. Seek me with all your heart, the Lord says, and I will be found by you. Pray, give, fast, do the things that, what do we consider religion? Coming into the church, praying with one another, reading your Bible, all the things that we do that we know, when you do them from your heart, not because you are compulsory to do so, but because you love God, God is going to be there and meet you in it. And life is still gonna suck sometimes. But you're gonna be able to smile and say it's okay. Because Christ suffered and so too will I. And I will see the victory. For Jesus has said, take heart, for I have overcome the world. And that's what he's talking about as we end today. Look at the last scriptures. No one can serve two masters, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Now, I think it's amazing, because that word wealth there, it should be translated riches. No one can serve God and riches. You know, we look at that, and we think about money. In fact, some Bibles actually say there, you cannot serve God and money. But we need to understand, you know, we need to look at what Jesus was talking about prior to, because remember, the words give us their meaning because of the context. And Jesus was not necessarily talking about wealth here. Jesus was talking about spiritual wealth. He was talking about well-being. He was talking about life. And when we understand that the riches of life come from God and God alone, and that is truly life, we can look at that word and we can understand he wasn't talking about money. He was talking about that makes us have worth within ourselves, value. Okay? How many of us look at the virtues of God and say to ourselves, that's where God places value? And then we look to the values that this world puts in, and we call that virtue signaling. Because that has nothing to do with God, but it has everything to do with the hearts and minds of men. And hearts and minds of men are sinners. Can I get an amen? And we are fallen, and we are broken, and we are going to destroy ourselves. Because the evil one has planned that. The whole reason he tempted Adam and Eve was to destroy, kill, and steal. And he's still at it. How many of you can see it even more so today than ever before? The amazing thing is, many people are waking up. May we help them see the hope that is in Jesus Christ by truly being men and women of faith, not external religious activities, but truly living from the light of Christ in us, shining. What's the name of the sermon title today? Shining brightly from within. That is a deep sense of who we really are. And are we showing that light of Christ, the hope, to the world? Because he is our hope. Amen. Pray with me this day. Father God, we thank you that you are right here in our midst. And oh my goodness, you give us so much hope. Because Lord, we are trying. We are trying to store up our treasures in heaven. Forgive us when we screw up, Lord, because we are broken people. And help us to walk aright. Bring us back through the power of your Holy Spirit, through the teaching of your word, and through the acceptance of the truth, the way, and the life, that we may truly live life and thereby give away true life to others around us. Father, watch over us as we come closer and closer to the spiritual reality of Easter throughout this Lenten season. Lord, I pray that those who are out there who are hearing this word, if it would be their hope to know you, that they would simply come to see that all they have to do is believe. Believe and receive you into their lives. For Lord, when we do, the light of Christ truly shines in us, and life is ours. In his holy and precious name, Jesus the Christ, and all the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.